Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 27. I'm Jack.
I'm Jay.
We've got a lot to cover tonight.
Three games in six days.
It's been a mad week, hasn't it? We're going to start with, what is the most dramatic game that you've ever been to? So the reasoning behind this question is, the last 5 minutes against Arsenal at the weekend were some of the most dramatic, emotional, incredible things that I've experienced in football for a long, long time. So let's take it back. Can you remember any dramatic games? Or it didn't have to be a dramatic game. It could be a dramatic moment in a match.
Dramatic invariably relates directly back to a load of goals. Back and forth, doesn't it? And for that, the two that immediately jumped to mind were Leicester, last game of last season.
Oh, the 5-4. Yeah.
Incredible game. Back and forth, some incredible goals as well. But was there the suspense in the stadium? No, because it was a bit of a carnival atmosphere, to be honest. Because we'd secured our spot in the league. They weren't really playing for anything. If anything, it was just bragging rights over our new arch rivals. Did you know they claim local derby? They claim us as one of their biggest rivalries now.
It's incredible.
It's actually a little bit puerile. But there was that, and the other one, which was one of my starkest memories of our last season at the Lane, was Wickham.
Oh, what a game!
What a game!
What a game.
Unbelievable game.
And, you know, people forget in that game, which we did eventually win 4-3, we were 2-0 down.
2-0 down.
Come back to 2-2, then 3-2 down with 4 or 5 minutes
Loved
to
it.
Go.
Loved it.
They should have beaten us that day.
They should have beaten us. And the whole of Wickham were there. I mean, FA Cup game, so I went West Lower, right near the away end.
Giving it all of that.
And the whole of Wickham were there.
And it was.
I mean, there are a few fan bases that were as noisy as that.
Yeah.
Leicester are noisy. Palace could be noisy, but they were really noisy.
That was definitely a dramatic game.
It was great fun.
I'll tell you one which I remember, and I wasn't there for it, but I remember listening to it on the radio, thinking, "What is going on? Spurs 6, Reading 4." Do you remember?
Yeah.
And it was literally like it'd kick off, and a minute later there'd be a goal, and another goal, and another goal. Dave Kitson scored a hat trick. Like, what a bonkers game that was! I want to talk about an extremely dramatic moment, and it does involve penalties as well. And this is one of the clearest memories I've got of White Hart Lane: Spurs against Blackpool.
Oh God!
Blackpool have been awarded a penalty.
You've got a great memory.
Blackpool got a penalty. Charlie Adams stepping up to take the pen. Excellent penalty taker, you know, think what you love him, but he can take a penalty. Gomez in goal for Spurs, he's dancing around on the line, and you're thinking, we're about to go a goal down to Blackpool here. Or it might, I can't remember the point of the game, it might have even been that we were 1-0 down and it was going to go 2-0. Charlie Adam comes up, Gomez saves it, goes out for a corner, whole stadium erupts, going absolutely mad. Gomez is jumping, like punching the crossbar, like everyone's going absolutely bonkers, goes out for a corner comes in. Instantly, as soon as the ball's back in play, Gomez just takes down the Blackpool centre forward. Another penalty given.
Yes,
so you're thinking, oh my God, what has he done? He saved a pen and now he's given one away. Adam steps up again, bottom corner.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, that moment defined Aurelio Gomez. Yeah. It was just an incredible moment. I mean, what a guy. Had a brilliant song though, didn't he?
Yeah.
But that was, you know, that was one of the most dramatic games. And I think back as well to any derby really where we've played Arsenal or Chelsea, because 9 times out of 10 those games have always been extremely tight, a goal in it, and everything's just on a knife edge.
Yeah.
And you can't relax at any point.
Arsenal in particular.
Yeah.
I think the last few seasons we've had so many draws. 1-0,
2-1,
very nip and tuck. It's all very, very, it's all very, very tight, and it's all very, very tense.
I put this out on Reddit earlier, so some fantastic responses to games. So Joey1982, he's gone down the derby theme. So he said the 4-4 versus Arsenal.
Yes.
Which you were at.
Well, I was at, yeah.
That's drama for you. Being dead and buried with a couple of minutes
to go. I was watching it from the corridor, to be honest. I was on my way out.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you must have gone bonkers when that equalised.
Well, we weren't expecting it, to be honest. We were dross that season, if you remember how bad we were. Yeah. We were 3 points off bottom place. And we saw some of the most unbelievable goals, didn't
we? The Bentley goal.
I know we talk about it a fair bit on the podcast, but it was still just
unbelievable.
A
couple of other games that Joey suggested. 4-4 against Chelsea. which was the Robbie Keane, you know, when he bends it in the top corner late on. What a game that was. And the 3-2 against West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, Bale, bang, top corner.
Yeah.
ASD's birthday, you know, like that. Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, there's been a few against West Ham, hasn't there?
Yes.
That,
well,
that Stalteri win.
Well, Stalteri, goal Naldo on Reddit, great
goal
name.
Goal Naldo.
4-3 beat West Ham in 2007. What is our right back doing, scoring in open play on the break?
Brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. And then Coyers 1989 has said Tottenham games being 4-0 down against Inter and Gareth Bale stepping up and just scoring that hat trick. And he says, I swear down another 5 minutes and we'd have got on a draw. And you know what? We probably would have done. That's drama. That's historical Tottenham, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then he said, football in general, AC Milan being 3-0 up against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Champions League final.
I was actually going to say that one.
That was
Liverpool have been involved in a few.
Yeah.
If you think back to 96 as well, that game against Newcastle.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Liverpool have been involved in a few.
And he also said Barcelona being 4-0 down against PSG in the 2017 Champions League, winning the second leg 6-1.
Yeah.
Which was the last minute Sergio Roberto goal.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, obviously we're not Barca fans, but I remember watching that and going crazy.
Yeah.
And you just think, why am I into this so much? Yeah. Imagine what it's like as a Barca fan. So
exactly.
There we go. So, there's some dramatic games. It's definitely a dramatic thing being a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
I think.
So there's a few last night, wasn't there?
We'll
come on to Europe.
We'll come on to that in a bit, because we've got a few games to view, starting with Chelsea.
Yes.
Which was, let's be honest, it was a disappointing night. I mean, we lost 2-0. We didn't play well. I don't think Chelsea played well either. I think it was a classic, nervy, cagey derby where it was two teams that really approached it with a mentality of, let's not get beat tonight and that won't be too sad.
Yeah, and I think they were just marginally more effective in getting at us.
Yeah.
And I think our heads went. And I think clearly our result against Burnley was still in our heads.
Yeah.
And I think as the game went on, they were more effective with possession than we were. We kept getting it up into their final third, and running out of ideas.
Yeah.
And I think where we'd be a lot more clinical in getting the ball to the back post, we just stop and look for a back pass. And I think it's at those moments when you know we're thinking too much about this.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think they were that good.
No, I
in possession, they weren't that great. They had a moment of brilliance
and that
relied on two mistakes.
And that was ultimately what decided the game.
Yeah.
It was a good bit. It was a good run, good bit of skill from Pedro. You know, he goes past Toby, beats Lloris at the near post. It's one of them that you watch, they're infuriating as a fan, those goals. Because you think, we could have stopped that two or three times and didn't.
Yeah.
The second goal.
Trippier. It's quite unlike Toby.
Oh, what, to be beaten like
to
that?
Be
yeah,
beaten like
they
that.
Said that in commentary.
It's quite unlike Toby, and I don't think we're seeing the best of Toby at the moment. Unlike some of the others at the back, but it is interesting. But yeah, no,
the second goal. Let's talk about that. So a big long ball forward. A finish from Trippier. I mean, he puts it right in the bottom corner.
I think that's got to be the best own goal of all time.
Of all time, you're putting it up there of all time.
Well, he just nudged it in there.
It literally
just nudged in.
If you watch it in slow-mo, obviously it didn't, but if you watch it in slow-mo, it looks like he does it deliberately. It really does.
Yeah.
It's one of the best own goals the Premier League's seen, I'll probably say that.
Yeah.
I'm going to send a couple of links round on Twitter after I publish this tonight. Have a look at some own goals on there. There's one own goal where a guy actually volleys the ball against his own face and it ends up in the back of the net.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And goals like that are just incredible. But you know what? It was a tough night. We didn't play well. We didn't manage a single shot on target, which was disappointing. And I agree with your point that we didn't really look like creating much the whole game.
I can't remember the last time that's happened.
I don't think...
I mean, we only got one on target, actually, last night, by the way.
I think they said that's the first time under Poch that we haven't registered a shot on target.
And I don't know why that is. I mean, Dele Alli really is our talisman against
especially,
Chelsea.
Especially,
I was going to say, against Chelsea. He's our man. They were bowled over that he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I think that's going to give any Chelsea side a lift.
Yeah.
When they see Dele Alli not
having him back, and we'll get on to him in a bit.
I don't know. I mean, are we overthinking the fact that in that final third, around the edge of the box, he is the absolute linchpin to unlock a tight Chelsea defence? I mean, they were pretty well organised at the back.
Yeah, they were.
They all had good games at the back, including their full-backs, who have been decidedly dodgy of late. Is Was it the lack of Dele Alli? I don't know.
It's difficult, isn't it? It's one of them games, you know, like one season you'll nick those games and then the other one you won't. It's just a tough one to take against that lot,
I think with a cup, with, you know, with a week under our belts, you know, and I think Kieran Trippier ended up having a decent enough game 3 days later. You know, it was a massive break. I thought it was a huge credit to Pochettino to put him straight back in, albeit in a slightly different position. I wanted him strung up that night.
I really did.
The emotions just told me.
You just have to, didn't you, as a football fan? You've got to enjoy your moments. When you win those derbies, you have to live off the buzz, but you've also got to accept that, you know, especially being a fan in London, you're going to have 3 or 4 derbies a season, most likely, that you just think, oh, God, that was awful.
But that was awful. I couldn't read about it. I still haven't watched it back.
I thought you said washed. I was going to say
the minute that Trippier goal went in, I turned the telly off.
Don't blame it.
When I watched some Netflix
And chilled. Right, let's talk about Spurs Arsenal then. So I mean, that was a remarkable game again. You know what? The North London derby is something special, and you know what? It's a lot better now that we're a better side, because they're up for the game as much as we are. You think back, you know, 15 years ago, that was our game. They weren't really bothered by us.
Yeah.
Whereas now, that is a massive derby for both sides. I mean, we take it back to the start. Team selection. Wanyama was in. Yeah. We had injuries. You know, Winks was a miss. Dyer was a miss. Wanyama coming in the middle of the park to play alongside Sissoko. And you know what? He was off the pace, Wanyama, but you know, for an hour, considering he hasn't played, I thought he did all right, given what was his last game, Palace. I felt a little bit sorry for him, to be honest, because coming back into that game is always going to be tough. I thought the first 15-20 minutes, we looked incredibly nervous, Spurs, and I think the fans were nervous as well.
Fans are nervous.
Given the Chelsea result, and that, you know, Arsenal were on a decent run of form, and they were up for it going into it as well.
Yeah.
They scored fairly early as well. I think the Ramsey goal was on about 17-18 minutes, which was disappointing.
Yeah.
In real time, we thought it was offside in the stadium. It was a decent finish. There was questionable goalkeeping from Lloris on the goal.
Should have come out.
When Ramsey goes round him, he goes round him in the 6-yard box, and you're thinking, how's that happened?
Yeah.
And Wanyama almost got back as well, didn't he, to do it. We equalised, which was then disallowed, which was a Kane header. From a set piece, which was a bullet header, and that felt like being in the stadium. That gave us a bit of a lift, even though it was disallowed. We were all a little bit, you know what?
Yeah.
We can get an equaliser. You know, we're not out of this. But the refereeing throughout the whole game was extremely questionable.
Yeah.
Stato sent over some pre-recorded stuff. So this is what he made of the game.
Thanks, Jack. Essentially, the lino made a mistake, and the whole subsequent argument is both sides trying to justify their own agenda. I have sympathy with the assistant. At the free kick, all of their defenders lined up to play all of our players offside by about a yard. As the kick is about to be taken, our players edge towards being onside, and theirs all step towards goal. You can see this in countless photos online. Some of our players don't quite time it right and are in an offside position. This is where lots of players, pundits and fans don't understand the law. The very first line of the law is, it is not an offence to be in an offside position. I'll give you a very quick example. Lennon sprints to the byline, cuts the ball back to Robbie Keane, who slots home from about 8 yards out. Lennon is standing in offside position, but he isn't interfering with play. He isn't offside, so it's a goal. Anyway, 5 of our players appear to be in an offside position. They couldn't all be trying to play the ball at the same time, so they weren't all offside. Now this is where the fuss comes from. I'll quickly quote the law that you may have seen 1,000 times since Saturday. A player in an offside position is moving towards the ball with the intention of playing the ball and is fouled before playing or attempting to play the ball or challenging an opponent for the ball. Then the foul is penalised as it has occurred before the offside offence. Mark Clattenburg in the Mail said that although Kane was in an offside position when Eriksen delivers the ball, he is not deemed to have committed an offence until he plays the ball or attempts to play the ball. From the replays, you can clearly see the barge happens before Kane is in the process of challenging for the ball. Whereas Dermot Gallagher on Sky said, the minute Kane challenges for the ball, he becomes active and involved in play, and therefore offside should have been given. The clue is there, and that he's in the air. That shows he's going for the ball. and if he goes for the ball, then that negates the first bit. There you have two highly qualified and experienced referees with markedly different interpretations of the same event. You wait till we have VAR, guys. This type of difference of opinion is going to come up time and again, I promise you. Now the bang average penalty stroke encroachment. Firstly, can we say it was a very harsh penalty. Almost everyone seems in agreement that it shouldn't have been given. I love Davinson, but all too often he isn't goal side of his man and it causes countless problems. Anyway, Vertonghen encroaches a long way and a retake could have been awarded. Less noticeably, Iwobi had also encroached and it was he who got to the ball after Hugo's save to cross it towards goal. He definitely committed an offence, but it was far less noticeable, maybe only in the corner of the referee's view, who seemed to be looking straight at Vertonghen. We were very fortunate. That being said, Taylor had given countless little fouls against us in the previous few minutes, and in the build-up to the penalty, Llorente was definitely barred going for a header, and that wasn't given. The Rose and Leno incident. Rose was entitled to go for the ball. Anywhere else on the pitch, this would have been a straight red card. But as Leno's the goalkeeper and coming out trying to make himself big, he as much collides with Rose as Rose hits him. I suspect Anthony Taylor thought there wasn't enough force from Rose's outstretched leg for it to be anything more than reckless, which merits a yellow card as opposed to excessive force, which warrants a red card. So much of refereeing is subjective. On another day, another ref would have definitely shown the red card, and with VAR it probably would have been sent off too. Torreira's red card. There can't really be much argument over this. Whether or not he plays the ball first, it's a studs up challenge with enough momentum. Yes, Rose writhes around a bit, but it's a definite red. Xhaka on Kane. Sadly, this isn't even seen as a foul. It looks awful in the stills. Studs up, top of his calf, behind the back of his knee. With VAR, it might well have been a red, but it probably should have just been a yellow for me when viewed at normal speed. Anyway, that were my interpretations on it. I've tried to be as objective as I can. It just goes to show, A, how hard it is to referee, and B, how different people interpret the same actions in different ways.
But it was just an interesting one, the refereeing. You know, the Xhaka one, you think, yeah, he's got to go, surely, for that. Danny Rose, if you take the Spurs hat off, he probably should have gone. The actual Torreira red card was pretty shocking. Their penalty, yeah, in my opinion, was as soft as anything.
Yeah, I think the penalty in particular was just another was a sign that the referee was just trying to even up the decision making by then. You know, he allowed our penalty to go.
Great finish from Kane now on as well, wouldn't it?
The way you just know he's going to score. You know he's going to bury
him. He scores every time against Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, if I just go back to Lacazette had missed a couple of gilt-edged chances very, very early on.
He had one after about 2 minutes, that he put wide.
Yeah. And I think at that point, I thought our luck could be in it.
Yeah,
I quite fancy this. But putting through Ramsey the way he did was just sublime. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think you've got to credit them. I think that's as well as I've seen them play since the last time we played them in the league, and they lumped us 4-2. They seem to raise their game. I was surprised to see Torreira not start.
And Aubameyang.
And Mkhitaryan seemed like a man possessed. I've never seen
him
play.
He had a decent game.
I've never seen him play like that. He's clearly keeping Ozil out. I'm just pleased Aaron Ramsey's going to another country.
How have they let that happen?
Yeah.
He was the
shocking
best,
manager,
he was the
it?
Best player in an Arsenal shirt by a million miles.
Yeah.
Million miles. Like, we really struggled to do anything in the centre of the pitch while he was on.
And they're not going to replace him.
No.
How can you replace that quality?
It's a real strange one.
Yeah.
But you know what? We dug the draw out in the end, which, if I was an Arsenal fan, I'm happy with the point. I wouldn't have taken the point before the game, but over the course of the game, being behind the late penalty they had, all of that, I was pleased with a draw.
You know, for every one of us, there's a dozen Arsenal fans out there believing anything and everything from we paid off the officials.
That's why we can't buy any players.
Which is why we can't,
paying off officials.
And obviously there's some horse trading there for Pochettino now getting charged, you know. I mean, it is just mental. But Aubameyang, at 55 million quid, you know, he is absolutely God's gift. Better than Harry Kane.
Most clinical finisher in the league.
Yeah. But you can see his arse went.
There's a brilliant gif, isn't there?
There's a brilliant gif
just staring at him.
Of looking at him His deep breath, you could see he literally...
He's done.
I think by that time, a little bit of poo had come out.
He did the classic Arsenal thing.
He shit his pants.
There we go. but you know what? We got the draw, which, you know, in the course of top four, which, you know, you might listen to this and think, oh, it's a bit negative thinking about it like that, but it would have been a point behind us, they would have been, if they'd have won that game.
It's huge.
So keeping it to four is good for us. I want to talk about...
Again, I think this... Again, there was hesitancy there. We were giving the ball away too cheap.
I do think we looked nervous in that game.
Yeah, we're in a form dip. Mm. Well, we were.
Yeah. And it's mad what a couple of results can do. And all of a sudden, you think you might bring on the next side. Like, we'll beat anyone. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I want to talk about the Sissoko, or the Sock, as we call him. He has been nothing short of sensational.
Every game.
Again, against Arsenal, he was brilliant. A breaking play up.
Yeah.
He's not great on the ball in terms of passing. He don't need to pass it. He runs. He gets the ball and he just carries it 40 yards. Mm. And it's unbelievable. And you're really seeing the benefits of a player that has got a run in the team in the same position and has kept himself fit throughout most of the season. He has been... If it was a case now of fighting for a player of the season, I genuinely would vote him. I genuinely would.
Just for delivering week in, week out.
He hasn't had a dip in form. He's just been 8 out of 10 every game.
He missed a couple of games, didn't he? About a month, 6 weeks ago. But unbelievable. So many of them have just played every single game. And I can't see what we would now do without him.
Yeah. And you talk about how Arsenal replace Ramsey. If Sissoko went... Do you know what I mean? That physical presence that he brings, the amount of ground he covers is just unbelievable. He wins the ball back. It must be as much as anyone in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like whenever the opposition have the ball, he just smashes the player out of the way. That ball's mine.
Yeah.
And then we play. And you know what? He's got a lot better at just simplifying his game. Yeah. Where he's not a Harry Winks, I'm going to thread the ball, or an Ericsson play 60-yard pass over the top. He gets it and just gives it simple.
He gives it
to a player that's better than him on the ball. And I just think he's a player that understands exactly what his role is in the team.
Yeah.
So credit to him and credit to Poch as well for, you know, having the faith in keeping him, but also working with him, getting him to a point where, like you say, you just said he's one of our most important players.
Yeah.
If I'd have said 12 months ago you were going to be saying that, you know, you'd have found the police, wouldn't you?
And the other big side to his game that I'm enjoying more is his aggression.
He's a big boy, isn't he?
He has a pop at a couple of different midfielders every game.
And none of them want it either, do they?
No, they don't want it. They don't want it. And then he takes pictures of it, and then he sticks them on his Instagram like he did last night. I don't know if you saw that. I have seen it. He does it all the time.
What was fun, you talk about that, Azpilicueta tried to have a nibble, didn't he, in the Chelsea game? He just pushed him over, didn't he?
Yeah.
It looked like he barely touched him, but he went flying. And just he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He really is. But he has been, honestly, nothing short of sensational for us this season.
Yeah.
He really has.
Carries us.
Literally. The sheer strength of him, he probably could carry the whole team, couldn't he? Let's talk about Dortmund now.
Oh, God.
So, you know, going into this off the back of that fantastic 3-0 home win in the first leg against them, we were all completely calm, weren't we? We weren't worried about going there and letting We were terrified. Not because we don't have belief in the team, but just, you know, Spurs over the years never fails to disappoint in these kind of situations, does it?
Well, also, that's the best side Dortmund have put out all season. You know, all their big guns, completely fit.
Yeah.
And ready to give it gangbusters.
You know what? I was so, so pleased with how we approached the game. In terms of, you know, we had our three centre-halves playing, which we just always look more solid, in my opinion, when we play that. But we just said to them, you know what, we're 3-0 up. You've got to come and beat us. We're going to sit in. And the Spurs of old, I even think the Spurs of last season would have approached that game differently and gone, oh, you know what, we desperately need to get an away goal because then they've got to get a five. We didn't have that mindset. We had the mindset of, hang on a minute, we're 3-0 up.
Yeah.
We're going to sit in, make it difficult. We've got Kane and Son on the break. Yeah. When we do win the ball, we're going to play up to them. And you know what? The first 15 minutes of the game, there was barely any football. We were taking ages to take throw-ins.
Yeah.
We were slowing everything down. And I was like, this was a mature European performance.
This is what we want.
Yeah. They had a spell, didn't they, about 15 minutes, where Lloris saved everything. Vertonghen, Davis were putting blocks in. And just, you know, they were willing to die for the cause, the defence. It was sensational.
That first 25 minutes, 30 minutes, was excruciating. But I think within that, some of the best defending I think I've ever seen us.
It was sensational.
Seen us deliver on the pitch. You know, the way they were all covering each other, covering the runs. I think Ben Davis was outstanding. Super Jan, again. I think personally, Super Jan, my man of the match for yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's brilliant every game at the minute as well.
Every single game. That slight slip up in the first 7-8 minutes from Sanchez, he was right there covering it. And I think that the defending was a sight to behold.
Yeah.
But the bit that was really frustrating me in that first half hour was our inability to string any passes together.
Yeah.
I mean, they were closing us down. They were really up. They were really fired up. But keep the ball. Mm. Find a simple pass.
It was almost.
Aurier was most frustrating than that. Yeah. Couldn't complete a pass. Yeah.
It was almost like at times we were just playing against a brick wall. We'd get the ball kicking, it'd just come straight back. That was how it felt for a bit.
Relentless.
But you talk about Aurier. He's a really interesting player for me. So he divides opinion massively at Spurs.
Yeah.
All the fullbacks do. But Aurier's one that people say, you know, he's an aggressive player. He's a great athlete. He can be quite rash at times.
Yeah.
He dives in sometimes and you think, oh God, what are you doing? But I actually think in that setup where we're sitting in and defending, he's better suited than Trippier.
Yeah.
Purely on the basis of, he covers ground incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
And when you're sitting in, the trick that the opposition always try to do is they have to switch the play quickly because then they can get in behind you. When you've got Aurier playing as your wing back and a team switch the play, he's on top of that winger before they've even brought the ball down. And he did it from minute one to minute 90.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely incredible watching him. You think he'd tire at some point.
Yeah.
But he just grows into the game. I thought, yes, in possession there are still question marks.
Yeah.
He did put a couple of lovely crosses in the second half.
He did. When the pressure's off.
I do think that part of his game is getting better.
Yeah.
His delivery and being in the final third and just being a little bit calmer. I agree, he can give it away sometimes in areas and you think, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But then part of that is, that's how we play, isn't it? We play out from the back. Yeah. Even when we're being pressured, if anything, we encourage teams to come and press us so we can play around you.
I mean, I thought his time-wasting for getting kicked by Marco Reus was magical.
And there's only
don't do that.
Only one foul throw as well, weren't there?
I think that was for time wasting. I don't think it was a foul.
He just stood with the ball over his head, didn't he?
Yeah, for about 20 seconds.
Fantastic. Let's talk about the goal. So we got into half time, and it was obviously Poch sat them down and said, look.
Well, I think we should talk about the last 10 minutes of the first half. Because I think by that time, Dortmund started easing off a bit. We'd had that patch, three or four corners in a row. Lloris, Billy the Fish,
he was
keeping everything out. I think that's easily been his best game of the season.
Yeah.
And I think we had that period of 10 minutes where we just started finding pockets and completing passes, and the Ole with every pass started. And I've never seen that in the first half. Even we were doing it at home, my lad, because it started becoming a joy to watch.
Yeah.
We started defending through the 11 rather than with our backs to the wall. And I think that set the scene, I think, for the second half.
And I think the Dortmund players must have felt, you know, after those corners that you talk about and putting that pressure on us and not scoring, they must have felt like, oh,
head's gone.
If we haven't scored now, like, it's going to be tough.
Because that's going to kill you, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've got a keeper playing like that, You know our heads can go quite quickly as well.
But the goal, you know, right at the start of the second half, and there was obviously a conversation at half time which was, we need to do more going forward. We're defending brilliantly, but like you say, let's keep the ball and let's start to penetrate their back four a little bit. The ball falls to Sissoko, who plays a stunning ball. Not the kind of pass you would really associate with him playing. It was fantastic through ball.
Yeah.
Kane does brilliantly to get himself back on side because the first ball gets blocked. Yeah. One touch, bang, back of the net. If you're looking for a definition of a clinical finish, that is it.
Yeah.
And you just knew when he was through, you're thinking, this is going in.
Yeah. Took it so quickly.
The keeper's nowhere near it.
Took it so early. And I think I think he's had a couple of chances against Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
He had a guilt-edged chance coming in from the right, where I think you could see him slowing up.
Yeah, thinking
about it or trying to buy the foul.
Yeah,
where he could have buried it with his right. He could have got a shot away. Yeah. And I think clearly, someone said something to him, just get the shot away quicker. And no one is better than him right now at that.
He was just brilliant. And you know what? After that, we were just fantastic at being slow and just killing the game. There was nothing happened after that. We had a couple of little chances on the break and we made subs and we just literally said, game's over.
Well, three goals, you think, I can do this. Five goals.
Especially after 50 minutes.
I don't even think
we
would fire ourselves up for five goals.
I reckon the Echoes of Glory side could have gone there for the last 10 minutes and maybe just got through.
And back to your point about nail biters and incredible games. On the other side, there was an incredible game going.
Ajax.
Ajax v Madrid. But I was quite happy after the four games I've just watched of Tottenham with my head in my hands, watching between my between my fingers. I was quite happy for just a stress-free half hour.
It was also nice and very rare that you can sit there and enjoy watching Spurs.
Exactly.
And I don't mean because we don't play great football, but you're always so emotionally in a game that you can never relax.
Yeah.
But being 4-0 up, you're thinking, this is done. I can just sit back now,
just enjoy
eat
this.
My pancakes, because it's pancake day here, and just have a good evening.
I don't care about Ajax
What a shock that was, though.
Yeah.
No one saw that coming. But they're obviously a decent... You've got to be a decent team to go to Madrid and do that.
Yeah. Dusan Tadic?
I couldn't get in the team at Southampton.
What is going on
And
there?
He's bossing it.
I remember him when we beat them 5-2 last season.
Bossing it in the Bernabeu. And his goal was unbelievable. And he set the second one up, didn't he? Where he did the turn.
The turns?
Unbelievable.
What's that? Ajax coaching?
I don't know. But, I mean, what a sensational
result.
Spending
quite a load of duchies.
Are you worried about Poch and the Madrid job now? Because surely that position will be vacant soon.
I think it's got Mourinho's name written all over, hasn't it? That'd be superb.
Allardyce till the end of the season, shore it up.
There's plenty out there, isn't there? Ancelotti's free at the moment, isn't he?
There's a lot of managers. Depends whether or not Madrid want to go down their classic route, or do they want to say, you know what, we actually need a bit of stability now.
They need to shore up Champions League, don't they? They're way off the Spanish league now.
Yeah, and Barca have beaten twice in the last 2 weeks as well. So.
That was a great game. Did you watch that on Saturday? That was
1-0. Rakitic scored a great goal. Apparently,
it was just they were both going gangbusters at each other, and the passing and movement.
Mm.
We just watched what did we just watched? Oh, it was Tottenham Arsenal day, and it was just that was such a difficult game. It was nice just to enjoy a match.
Yeah. They're brilliant
as a
Clasicos.
Yeah,
they really are brilliant. And in a way, it's a shame Madrid are out, because the thought of Madrid-Barca in a two-legged Champions League game as a neutral would have been fantastic. But there you go. Fingers crossed for the draw, you know. There's no easy draw that we could get. There are easier draws. I know Ajax have just knocked Madrid out, but, you know, you'd fancy against them. And you'd fancy against the winner of Roma or Porto.
Yeah.
You really would. But you know what? Anything can happen in knockout football, so
I think we can beat anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We can beat anyone.
I would be a bit nervous playing against either of the English sides. I think over two legs that would be tough. But then I think everybody else will be looking at that, especially the foreign sides, and thinking
I wouldn't want
Spurs.
So United. I can't see an upset tonight.
I think they're out.
They've got so many players out and injured. Pogba's out. Suspended.
You never know. You genuinely never know. And I say only,
Herrera's
but
out.
A 3-1 and they're through. They could go and score three. You never know, but I'm with you. You'd think PSG will have too much at this point. But I think Liverpool or City for us, I mean, Liverpool aren't, neither of their sides are through yet. Liverpool have got a tough second leg.
I can't see them going through.
I don't know. They're a draw.
Or maybe
gets
am I hoping?
A score draw gets them through, doesn't it? So.
Does it?
Because it was 0-0 at
Anfield. Score draw gets them through.
I can't
see them scoring in Germany. They've been terrible.
They have been poor.
In Europe.
The thought of either them two over two legs would be tough. Barcelona, I think
we could do them.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Anyone could beat anyone at this point in the tournament.
I mean, the way we've tucked up Dortmund over two legs, we can beat anyone.
Yeah. You never know,
there are certain sides I don't want to meet. I don't want to meet Atletico Madrid. I'd almost rather meet Barcelona again.
If Atletico over two legs is just an awful time.
And I don't want to meet City.
No.
But you know what? I mean, Liverpool, when they won it in 2005, were in a similar boat, weren't they?
What about Bayern Munich over two? What a tie that would be.
That'd be amazing.
That would be fantastic. But if you do get the luck of the draw and you get a easier game, because I just want to stress that, you know, even Ajax is not going to be easy, you could then find yourself in the semi-final of the Champions League.
Anything can happen.
And genuinely anything can happen.
Liverpool
then
got there last season. They're not that
they
great.
They got all the way to the final, didn't they? And yeah, you think, well, we'll see what happens.
They just about made it into fourth. So we've got it all to come. 3 week break.
So we've got Southampton at the weekend. That's our next league game, away from home, down at St Mary's. They're a poor side, let's be honest.
Well, they've had the odd good result, haven't they? They beat Arsenal. Did they beat Arsenal or draw against Arsenal?
I can't remember, to be honest. But since the new manager's come in, they've definitely changed their style, yeah, and they are more attacking, which you would actually think will probably suit us playing them, a team that's going to come and have a go and try and outplay us. You think we should have too much in the locker for them. But you have to be careful in these games, you really do. It's a good opportunity, though, this weekend for us to gain on people in and around us. Arsenal are playing United, so yeah, one or both are going to drop points there.
Sorry, Arsenal beat them 2-0. They had that thriller against United, didn't they?
They were unlucky against United. They probably should have got something.
They lost to Cardiff.
They're a poor side.
Yeah.
Dele Alli, back in training, apparently back in contention to be selected for the squad at the weekend. What a massive boost that'll be.
Yeah.
What an option off the bench. Well, you know what? I looked at our bench against Dortmund and I actually thought, you know what? It's Llorente, Lucas, Dyer, Wanyama. All of a sudden, Lamella, and you've got Dele Alli to come back. That's looking strong again.
I really like the look of Verrett Dyer when he came back as well.
He's an animal.
When he came back on.
He really is.
I mean, Sissoko and Dyer. Huge.
Imagine and
carrying us through.
And then you're trying to shut out a game, stick Wanyama in there as well.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to play against those three, would you?
Exactly.
I'm a massive Verrett Dyer fan. I think
we can beat anyone on our day.
Yeah. Prediction then for that Southampton game?
3-0.
I'm going to agree with you for the first time ever.
3-0.
I think we'll batter them. I think it'd be really comfortable. Yeah. I think Son will get back to scoring ways, which I think he needs.
Yeah.
I'm confident we'll go there and take 3 points. It's time now for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
Oh, God.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
God, I hate these.
Brilliant. Well, it's good to have you here. Yeah. So I will give you a game that Spurs have been involved in, and I'll give you the date of that game. I will then give you about half of that team that started for us. Your job is to work out the rest of the team. So this match is Tottenham Hotspur 1, Southampton 0, 4th of May 2013. We played a 4-2-3-1 formation that day. Our goalkeeper was Hugo Lloris. Our right back was Carl Walker. Our first centre back was Jan Vertonghen. Our second centre back is a question mark. Our left back was Benoit Assou-Ekotto. You're getting all of this?
Yeah.
So two holding midfielders. Our first holding midfielder is a question mark. Our second holding midfielder was Moussa Dembélé. Our right-hand-sided midfielder is a question mark. Playing central, so sort of as a number 10 really that day, was Gareth Bale. The left-hand-sided midfielder is a question mark. And the centre-forward's a question mark. So I need you to tell me centre-half, centre-midfielder, right-mid, left-mid and striker. So for some context, this was the game where Bale scored a late goal. 86, 87 minutes. Remember he cut in for the right and bent it in the corner.
I was actually at this game.
Sensational goal. Absolutely. This is the AVB era as well.
Yeah,
so
I remember.
This is
you
know, pristine, 10 men behind the ball at home.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
So it's a striker or question mark?
Yes.
Right, Soldado.
Wasn't Soldado.
Oh, God.
The striker's a question mark. Yeah, left midfielder, right midfielder, centre-back.
Centre-back was Dawson.
It was indeed. Good shout.
Yeah.
Michael Dawson at centre-back.
Sandro at defensive DM.
No.
Oh, come on.
wasn't Sandro Knight.
Oh, God.
Well, if we stick with the central midfielder, English.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent passer of the ball.
Oh, Tom Huddleston.
Tom Huddleston. Huddleston and Dembele, centre of the park for that game.
Great.
So I need right wing, left wing, centre forward.
Well, right wing, clearly Aaron Lennon.
Aaron Lennon.
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Left.
If one's going to catch you out, I think it's going to be the left-hand side of midfielder.
Oh, God.
Do you want a clue?
I need to get this striker.
We don't get this striker. It's quite an obvious one.
Hang on.
So
it's not 2013.
So this guy played up front when we Bale had his good season.
Oh, Defoe.
Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah.
Quality centre forward. Yeah. Great finisher.
Never scored in the big games.
No. I think he was one of them players that, you know, where we were at that time was Defoe. It was like now. Yeah. He wouldn't get anywhere near that side. But at the time he was perfect for us. So I need the left hand sided midfielder. So this is a guy who he's not left footed. He was playing off the left that day. Yeah. He wasn't with us for very long. We signed him from another London club. He was one that used to split opinions of fans, but he used to score a lot of big goals.
Not Adebayor.
Not Adebayor.
No, we'd never play him there.
Not Adebayor. He's not really he's not a left winger as such, but he was sort of shoehorned to play out there because we moved Bale centrally. His squad number was number 2.
Bloody hell. Another London club?
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you the London club. We signed him from Fulham.
Oh, God.
Come on, you can get
American.
It. You can get it. Yes.
Oh, God.
Clint.
Yeah, Clint Dempsey.
Clint Dempsey. Yeah. Clint Dempsey, there we go.
Dempsey.
So that team was 4-2-3 on formation.
Yeah.
Hugo in goal. Walker, Vertonghen, Dawson, Asu Koto.
Yeah.
Huddleston and Dembele. Lennon, Bale, Dempsey, Defoe.
Great side. What a great team.
I used to really like Clint Dempsey.
Yeah.
Honestly, he used to get a lot of goals. Remember his last minute equaliser against United in the snow? That was fantastic.
He had a brilliant shot
for us.
That really Bale get the ball away, couldn't he?
Yeah. That Bale season, how good was he that year?
How many times did he do that? Get us out of trouble.
He did it in the last two home games, Southampton and Sunderland.
Yeah.
And they were literally identical goals, cutting off the right.
Cutting off
bang.
Bang with the left.
Absolutely sensational.
Would you have him back?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about this, hasn't there? So his agent was on Talksport a few days ago and was just absolutely slating Real Madrid. Their board, their fans, the treatment of Bale, when you think. There's obviously been loads of speculation the last 2 or 3 years about Bale leaving Madrid. But for his agent to go on the radio and actually, you know, starting to make all of his frustrations in that public, I'd be shocked if he's there next season now. What is he on? 300, 350 grand a week? How much would he got? I couldn't see us affording him, to be honest.
I can't see us paying it. I think he's the sort of player that we would, if we could, we'd find a way of playing him.
Mm. I think if we got Bale, we could genuinely win the league next season.
Yeah.
Just him. Yeah, I think if the rest of the squad's the same and we added Bale to that, I think honestly his goals and what he'd do in games would be nothing short of sensational.
Yeah. The one issue I have with him is the amount of time he's out for injuries.
Mm.
He's out a lot.
Yeah.
And do you want to take someone on that lumpy on cost who's not going to play 10 games of the season, 10, 15 games of the season?
This might just be my opinion on it. I mean, he's had a couple of injuries where he's been out for lengthy periods, you know, 2-3 months at a time. But he always seems to be picking up a hamstring injury and he's out for a week, groin 2 weeks and all that. And I think, how much of that is that he's not that bothered?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How much of that is it, oh, I've got a slightly tight hamstring, I can't play this week? Because he's not enjoying his football, he doesn't particularly want to be there. That's my question. Now, if he's in a team that's absolutely amazing to be part of, you know, he is the main man, the supporters love him, would it be a case of, no, actually I feel fine?
Well, the weird thing is, I don't think he would be the main man. We have a main man.
Can you imagine
Kane and Bale?
Kane and then Dele playing just behind
Dele.
Them.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Which is Bale
and then Son, Eriksen, if he's still there.
Yeah.
What a side that would be. Honestly, Bale in that side, that you look at the games that we've lost this season, you think, oh, we narrowly lost that. A player like that could have made a difference.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we're living in a bit of a fantasy
land.
I think we are.
But look, the rumours of Eriksen going to Madrid are more than rumours now. Mm. There's something there.
Would you be up for that?
I cannot see Eriksen going to Madrid without someone coming back our way. Mm.
Well, if it was
I'd take Modric, to be honest.
If it was over Bale.
I think we would. Yeah, I think it's a light for light replacement, but a huge increase in quality. How old is Modric now?
32, 33. You'd maybe get two years out of him.
Two very good years out of him.
Two title winning years out of him.
I think he's still. I mean, again, I was watching as I said. El Clasico. That was actually one of my thoughts watching El Clasico on Saturday.
Getting back in.
I'd have him in a heartbeat over Gareth Bale. And I'm very emotional about Gareth Bale. I saw him from the very, very off. You know, those 19 games. Was it 19 games we didn't win?
When he was playing left back, what is this guy doing on the pitch?
Absolutely appalling.
Yeah, it was terrible, wasn't it? So if it was an Eriksen for Bale straight swap, would you do it?
No.
Would you not?
I have to be very dispassionate about it and go, I don't think he solves that Eriksen problem.
Mm. I'll be honest with you. If you offered me an Eriksen for Bale straight swap, I'd do it.
Yeah, but then who'd do the Eriksen role?
I'd do it. We'd.
You do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm free. You know? Yeah, I wouldn't. My wages would be nowhere near.
Who would be in that central?
I think
attacking.
We would just find a new way of playing. I think we wouldn't necessarily go down the route of having that playmaker as such. I think we'd have the two centre forwards, Bale and Kane. Ali playing as the 10 just behind them, and then Winks, Dyer, Sissoko.
Winks could play there.
I feel like that side, you know, don't get me wrong, this is not me saying I don't want Eriksen, but in this hypothetical situation of a straight swap, I just think that Bale would have, and he's shown in his time at Madrid, the top players have big moments in big games.
Yeah.
And if you look back, you know, he scored winners in two Champions League finals, a Copa del Rey final.
Yeah.
You know, that's just off the top of my head, I just know he's done that. And I think they're the moments when you look to your big players of in the head-to-heads against City and Liverpool, can someone just do something amazing, put the ball in the top corner from 30 yards, from nowhere?
Yeah.
And he can do that. And there aren't many players in world football that possess that quality of just picking a ball up and 5 seconds later, it's in the back of the net.
I agree with you, but I think in 5 years, has it been five? 6 years.
It's been a long time since he's been gone.
The Premier League's moved on a lot as well. Mm. And I think for the risk involved, given his injuries, the cost.
The cost would be the big thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can't really question his ability.
I don't think they'll let him go on a free. I don't know where he is in his contract.
Didn't he sign a new deal only sort of two years ago? And a long deal. Imagine the start of next season, the first home game, walk into that stadium, Bale, Kane, Ali.
Bale, Kane, Ali.
It's your front three. It's
crazy.
Can you imagine? Son off the bench. It would be sensational, wouldn't it? That would be unbelievable. But we will see. Fingers crossed that happens.
But this stuff's not pie in the sky for us anymore. You can start to see things like this actually.
I still feel like we are a good few years away from making a ridiculously big signing like that.
Yeah.
I still think, you know, given we're not even in the stadium yet. I think that's 2-3 seasons away. Still going and dropping 100 million on a player and giving him 300 grand a week. I don't know if we'd ever do that under Levy.
I don't know if we would. I think I would liken that to when Van der Vaart turned up out of nowhere.
Oh, what a signing.
You know, or Klinsmann just turned up. Hello.
How's this happened?
Yeah. How does he actually want to come and play with us?
Do you remember Van der Vaart? He was meant to go to Bayern Munich for 30 million the week before and it all fell through. And we nicked him for about 12 million on deadline day.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, how have we nicked?
How have we done that?
That was one of the best bits of business I think we've ever done.
Yeah.
Van der Vaart for that money.
So things like that can happen.
Yeah. So you're saying Bale deadline day, 12 million.
I'm saying I wouldn't do a direct swap with Eriksen. Mm. I would for Modric.
Eriksen for Modric.
Yeah.
Dele Alli for Modric.
No. I don't want Dele Alli to go anywhere. Right. Kane and Alli.
They could be the front two for the next 10 years.
We have to do everything we can to keep those two players.
Can you imagine being sat here in 10 years doing season 18 of the pod and still talking about Kane and Ali and how brilliant they were?
Yeah. We won 4 league titles.
Oh my God. But we're disappointed we didn't get the 5th.
Champions League in 2018.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? There we go. Jay, pleasure as always. Yeah. Enjoy the game at the weekend. Remember, whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
Walk away, Ali. Come on.
Football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.
Thank you.
for Tottenham.